Amen. Well, this morning we're going to begin a series called It Is Written. And I want you to know that for me as a pastor, for us as a church, this is really important because we are a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. Amen. And I believe with all my heart what we need is God's Word. We don't need just a bunch of nice platitudes and nice things to say and stories and, you know, a pat on the back. We need the Word of the living God. That's what truly changes lives. That's how we build our faith. That's how we grow in the Lord and how we become who God wants us to be. Amen. And I just want to tell you, we don't need to be concerned. We hear this kind of terminology a lot, but we don't need to be concerned about what is politically correct in this world. We just need to be concerned about what is biblically correct. Amen. What would please the Lord. Our series is titled, It Is Written. Now that title comes straight from the scripture. It's 17 times in the Old Testament. That's not really all that many. It says it is written. But 61 times in the New Testament, it tells us it is written. 25 of those are in the Gospels. 16 times it's Jesus himself quoting the Old Testament and saying it is written. The Apostle Paul uses that phrase in his letters that we hold to be scripture. He uses the phrase, it is written, 30 times. 30 times he refers back to the Old Testament and says, it is written. He knew the scripture, and what he is writing becomes scripture, part of the Word of God to us. And yet, he's using the Old Testament to back up what he says. It's amazing how he continually used the Old Testament, and yet a lot of believers today, well, they just kind of have the attitude that we could just discard the Old Testament. It doesn't even matter to us. Now, I want you to understand, we certainly are not going to live by the Old Testament ceremonial law. I don't want anybody showing up here with doves and lambs and such. You know what I'm saying? That ain't happening. And we understand we're not living under all of that Old Testament law. But we also need to know that there are many principles of the Old Testament and wonderful promises that are for us. And we can't let go of those things. I mean, the Lord Jesus and the Apostle Paul, I want you to know, he was New Covenant, all right? But he's constantly quoting the Old Testament, it is written. And I just want to say to you this morning that this book from cover to cover, it's for us. And we need to know what it says. We need to make the scripture something that we live by every day of our life. Every day of our life, it ought to be a part of our lives. See, it's not really optional for a believer. We need to know the scriptures. And I want to encourage you to make more time for the Word of God in your life. You know, the time that we're living in, it has just become more and more of a challenge because we have so many ways to entertain ourselves and busy up our lives, but we need to make room for the Word of God. Don't spend all your time with fruitless activities, but instead, use the Word of God to change your own heart and life. Put it down in your life. As I want to tell you, it has the power in it to change you. It has the power in it to cause you to believe. Amen. So many things in here, so many promises that are available to us. And how does that faith come? It comes from the Word of God. If we spend time in His Word, I want to tell you, it'll change you. And it'll make you, it'll prepare you to make a difference in somebody else's life. Oh, if you want to be used of God, you need to be full of the Word of the Lord. And my challenge to you this morning is that every person here would become a student of the Word of God. I mean, if you've never really done that, if you've never really read the Bible, studied the Bible, well, I just want to encourage you to start from where you are. Just start wherever you are. All of us are supposed to be learning and growing. And Christianity is not about an event that happened to us. It is an ongoing process. As we grow in the Lord, we ought to always be learning. I know there are many Christians that never really read much of the Bible. And I always say, if you're not a regular student of the Word, start with some books of the Bible that are a little easier to understand. You don't need to go dive into Leviticus. And as fun as it might seem, you're not ready for the book of Revelation to study. I just want you to understand there are some books of the Bible that are going to be easier for you to read. And so just as a pastor, I like to give this counsel that read the book of Genesis. It tells us about creation. And it tells us so many of the wonderful stories of God moving and working in the lives of His people. Read the Gospels that tell us about the life and ministry of our Lord Jesus, the miracles that He did. And it tells us of His teachings that we can apply them in our own life. Read the book of Psalms. You know, when you read the book of Psalms, you'll find so many of those that you can identify with, because so often the psalmist went through difficult times just like we do, and God brought them through to praise. And I just want to encourage you. See, you'll find things there, promises there that will help you. And read the book of Proverbs. It offers us daily wisdom for every area of life. And after you kind of get those down, you're ready for some more. But those are a good place to start. I want to say clearly, it's all good. But I just want to say, you know, especially if you're new, studying the Word of God, that's a good place for you to start. But this is the most fantastic book ever written. Yes. Written over thousands of years by many different writers, but all inspired by God. And here's one of the amazing things about the Scripture. For thousands of years, it has been unchanged. It is the most credible book in history. It's the most valid history book that you will ever read. It is absolutely amazing. And you know what? We don't need the approval of man to know that this is the Word of God. But over and over and over, archaeology is proving that the Scripture is true. But we need to know that just because God said so, that's good enough for us. Amen. We need to know what the Bible says. As believers and followers of Jesus, students of the Word, see, if we're really sincere about serving God, then we need to be able to say, it is written. You need to know what the Bible says. See, all kinds of crazy things in this world, all kinds of philosophies and teachings and ideas, you need to know what the Bible says so you can say it is written. People get upset when they take the Ten Commandments down from a public place. You know, the strange thing to me about that is that most Christians in America, the majority of Christians in America, don't even know the Ten Commandments. They get upset about them being taken down, but they don't even know them. They don't think they're important enough to learn them, much less teach them to their children. Well, and there's another hot topic. And people want the Bible taught in school, but they don't think it's important enough to study at home or to read at home or to teach to their children at home. Y'all getting real quiet on me right now. I guess the school needs to teach it because they don't. But Deuteronomy 6:6-7 says, "And these words I command you today shall be in your heart." It's not enough to read it or hear it one time. We need to get it down in our heart. "You shall teach them diligently to your children." Are you teaching the scripture diligently to your children? Diligently. You're doing your best. You know, there's so many good things you can teach your children. You can teach them how to balance a checkbook. Some of you don't know, but somebody needs to teach you first. But anyway, you can teach your child how to throw a ball. You can teach them how to drive a nail. You can teach them how to fish. You can teach them how to bake a cake. All kinds of things you can teach your children. You can teach them, please teach them, how to drive. Right? So many good things you could teach your child. But there is nothing in this world that you could ever teach your child that's more important than the Word of God. Teach it to them diligently. See, we're supposed to be talking about the Word all the time, not just on Sunday when we go to church, but it ought to be something we talk about all the time. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You know, we're talking about walking. I don't know about you, but most of us don't do a whole lot of walking anymore. How about when you're driving, you talk about the Word of the Lord? You just take every opportunity. When you rise up, when you lay down, we're supposed to be talking about the Word all the time. That's a different view. It's a different perspective than what you see in most of Christianity in America today. Well, we know better, but too often these things are relegated to Sunday. This is for every day of our life, that we are students of the Word. We love the Word of God, and we need to hold to the Scriptures and not be moved, not be swayed by the ideas and the philosophy of the day, that the Scripture is always the final authority in our life. No matter what others say, no matter what anybody thinks about it, we know this is the final authority. It is written. In every situation, every circumstance, whatever arises, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? And most Christians don't know. We need to know. We need to learn. We need to be ready when we're faced with difficult situations and circumstances. It is written. We know what we're supposed to do. We know the right decision to make because of the Scripture. Many consider the Word of God to be outdated, but it declares that it will stand forever. Many think that it's just a dead book. It's just words on a page. And certainly religious people can treat it as such. But we know that it declares itself to be alive. Some people think it's meaningless. It's no big deal. It's just, you know, ink on pages. But this Word is powerful. It has in it an inherent power that can absolutely change a life. That's why we need to know it is written. It's such an amazing book. It tells us of things that have happened, and it tells us of things that are to come. It gives us instruction to live by and to help us to be truly successful. It brings faith to our hearts. It brings truth that sets free. It's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Shows us which way to go. It is the sword of the Spirit. There's a lot of people trying to fight a spiritual battle, and they don't even have a weapon. This is the sword of the Spirit that we use against the enemy of our soul. You need to know it is written. It reveals to us the wisdom of God and the way of God and the will of God. It tells us about His protection and His provision and His promises. So much there available to us. It is both the prevention and the cure for deception. Oh, lots of deception in this world. And I want to tell you, it's the cure. Oh, but how much better even is when you know what it says and it keeps you from being deceived. Prevention and cure for deception. It has the power in it to save you, to heal you, to restore you, to make you whole. Oh, how wonderful is the Word of God. Most believers don't really know it. They just know little bits and pieces of it. And a lot of people, I tell you, it's amazing to me, they base their theology and their understanding of Scripture on a meme that they saw on social media. You need to get into the Word of God and know what it says. It is for each and every one of us to read and to study. Y'all are excited, aren't you? I can tell. 2 Timothy 2:15 in the King James, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Study. Never liked school. Never understood kids that do like school. It's just weird to me. Why would you want to be cooped up inside when you could be outside playing? So I never got that. Never really liked to study. You know, part of the problem with school and studying is that we study these things and we learn them so we can take the test, and who cares? We're probably never ever going to use this till you need to balance your checkbook. But anyway, you know what I'm saying. But when I began to study the Word of God, it was something different, because it is something that we use every day of our life. It shows us how to live. It shows us right from wrong. It shows us who God is. So we study to show ourselves approved to God. And the King James says, be diligent to present yourself, the New King James, to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. A worker, there's another word we don't like. It's not talking about preachers and teachers. No, the Bible makes it clear that everybody who is a part of the body of Christ, in Ephesians 4:16, it says that the body grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You're important in the body of Christ. There are things that God wants you to do. You have a work to do for God. And we need to study. We need to be diligent to learn the Scripture and know the Scripture. It doesn't matter if you're teaching a child's class or you're witnessing to somebody out in the community. You need to know what the Bible says. You need to be able to point them the right direction, to point them with the Word of God. Amen. It's the Word of God that changes lives. You know, when you read the Bible and you study the Bible, don't look for hard and strange things. It's so funny how people are prone to do this. Don't look for controversy. Don't look for something novel and weird. Just start with the simple truths of Scripture that will speak to your life. You know, some people have such a hard time with the Bible. They say, well, you know, it's so hard to understand and we just don't really get it, you know. The truth is that it's not the parts of the Bible that people can't understand that is the real trouble. It's the parts they do understand. I mean, some of it may not be easy, but it's pretty simple. We know what it means when Jesus says, forgive. We know exactly what he means. It's pretty simple. Forgive. Now the issue becomes that whether or not we are willing to do what he says. But, you know, as one man put it, it's not the parts of the Bible I don't understand that bother me. It's the parts I do understand that bother me. But I just want to encourage you that we need to be learning and growing in the Scripture and understand what it means, because it's all good. It's all for us. And it is the final authority. It's the final authority on everything, whether you know it or not. I know people can turn the Bible just into some dead religion in their life, but I also know that you can't really know the one true God apart from the scripture. The word of God is the final authority on God. All kinds of ideas and philosophies about who God is and what he's like, but the scripture tells us who he is and what he's like. So many people today, they just kind of have their own version of who God is. And even Christians seem to be prone to this. I've actually heard Christians say things like, well, God is whoever you want him to be. God disagrees. He says, I am who I am. And he says, I, the Lord, change not. You can't change him. You can't remake him to be who you want him to be. And if you want to know the one true God, you will find him in the scripture. You can't just listen to the ideas of man and religion. You've got to go to the scripture and what the scripture says about him. He's given us this book so we could know him. And this is the final authority on God. We need to know who the Word of God is. You notice I didn't say what, I said who. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Did you get that? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then in verse 14, it's telling us about the Lord Jesus. It says, and the Word became flesh. He took on a human body and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Talking about Jesus, Jesus is the Word made flesh. Here's one that a lot of people are not familiar with, 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one. Now, there's a lot of other passages we know that talk about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But here in this verse, he calls him the Word. You need to understand that Jesus, the one who was with God and was God, the Word became flesh. Jesus is the Word. You want to know Jesus? You'll find him in his word, the word of God. It's the final authority on truth. That's how you can really know truth. You know, the world says there's no absolute truth. Whatever, you know, it might be true in your generation, but now, you know, in this generation, that's not true. It goes even further than that, doesn't it? Where they say, well, you know, you can have your own version of the truth. This is my truth. You have your truth. That's like having your own version of reality, also known as crazy. I mean, you know, everybody has the right. I almost said to be stupid, but I'm not going to say that. Everybody has the right to say 2 + 2 = 5. That's my truth. It doesn't make it true. And here's how you know what truth is. It's from the Word of God. Always, always, the Scripture, the Word. John 18:37-38. I want you to understand some of this baloney is not really that new. Pilate says to Jesus, are you a king then? And Jesus says, you say rightly, I'm a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And Pilate says to him, what is truth? Like it's this strange, ambiguous thing. Who knows? Like it's a relative thing that changes from day to day. What is truth? In Jesus' prayer in John 17:17, he says to the Father, your word is truth. And then in John 8:31-32, Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Here's the final authority on truth. It's the word. He said, if you stay in my word, if you continue in my word, if you abide in my word, child of God, believer, listen, if you'll stay in Jesus' word, then you are my disciples indeed. Then you really are my disciples. See, there's a lot of pretend disciples. You want to really be a disciple of Jesus? You abide in his word. And then there's something that happens. When you abide in his word, you're going to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Well, it's so strange how they use that phrase in the world all the time. I've seen it and heard it in TV shows and movies and quoted out in public. People say, oh, the truth will set you free. And they're not even talking about Jesus at all. They're not talking about the Word of God. They don't get it. It's Jesus' truth. When you know His truth, it will set you free. We have to hold to the truth of the Word of God. How awesome we have the Scriptures as a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, to guide us in the right way in this crazy, mixed up, confused world where one says this and one says that. I'm going to just say it. Sometimes even listening to preachers, it can be so confusing. One says this and one says that. I want to tell you, the Word of God has to be our source of truth. There's so much deception in this world. Satan always uses deception to get people going the wrong way. He's been doing it ever since the Garden of Eden. He gets people headed the wrong way. He messes up people's lives. All the time he gets people disobeying God. He uses deception to do it. I already told you what the prevention and the cure is. It's God's word. We have to have the truth so that we know what's right, what we're supposed to do in every situation. So many voices. How about we just go to the source of truth and bypass all the confusion? You know, as we look into God's word, we're going to find truth that answers the questions to life. And it's so clear. Listen, in this world, a lot of the time, things, you know, it looks one way, but it's really not. It feels like this would be right, but it's really not. There's so much deception. A scuba diver said that when you go down deep in the water, and you're weightless, and the light from above becomes so diffused around you, you get to where you can be disoriented and you can't even tell which way is up. But there's one way. You can always know which way is up. Follow your bubbles. They always go up. He said he had been so disoriented at times that it seemed like his bubbles were going sideways. But they weren't. The bubbles don't lie. And you see, what happens to us a lot of times in this world, we get caught up in a situation and it feels like this is the right thing. The Word of God will never lie to you. It's always right. No matter what somebody else says, no matter how it feels, no matter how it seems, the Word of God is always right. You can count on the Word of God. You know, in all of our friendships, our relationships, dealing with money, whatever it is, we need to look to the Scripture to find truth. It's the final authority on truth. It's the final authority on morality. There's a lot of confusion about morality in this world. And I have to tell you, it's not just unbelievers. There's a lot of Christians that seem to be really confused about right and wrong. They don't even know what the Bible says. And they bought into the idea, the philosophy of the world where they just say, well, you know, I'm going to do what I think is right. You better back that truck up and do what God thinks is right. Because the Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of it is the way of death. You see, we can think, well, I'm doing the right thing. You better know what God thinks about it. You better know what is written. When you do what's written, you know you're doing the right thing. It is the final authority on morality. It's the final authority. I want you to understand this morning, because it has been inspired by God. He gave it to us. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It's not just another religious book. It's not just something somebody came up with. It was divinely inspired by Almighty God. How could we not desire to know every last word of this book that he's given to us? It's the final authority because it's eternal. Listen, the ideas, the teachings, the philosophies of the world, they can come and go, but the word of God will endure forever. Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. It's the final authority because it's perfect. The Bible says in Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect. There's no flaws in it. See, if you think that it has flaws, then you can't count on any of it. I know a lot of times people think that they found an apparent contradiction in the scripture. I mean, you can go to the book of Galatians where it says, bear one another's burden, and like two verses later it says, each man ought to bear his own burden. Here's what I know. Every contradiction that you think you find, I know, I've been there. I've seen some things. I'm like, how does this fit? But here's what I've learned. Over and over and over, as I learn and I grow and I keep, you know, the Holy Spirit shows me things, it all comes together. There's no contradictions. There's no flaws. We just haven't learned enough and grown enough. You just keep learning. You just keep growing and trust that God's word is absolutely flawless as it says that it is. God will make it clear to you. He'll show you. He'll teach you. But you got to be a student of the word. You got to keep learning and growing. You know, in the time that we live in, so many people, they just kind of pick and choose which parts of the Bible they want to believe and obey. I want to remind you that Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. By the way, let's just take this to heart this morning. Anybody going to have lunch today? How about eat dinner tonight? How about something in between? Bedtime snack. Amen. We like that food, don't we? Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Your soul needs the word of God just as much as your body needs that food. Oh, how we need the word of God every day of our life. By the way, I just want to tell you, you know, talk about the word being flawless. We live in a time where people are always picking at the Old Testament stories and the mighty miracles that God did. I want you to know that Jesus gives credence and credibility to the stories of the Old Testament being absolutely true, because Jesus talked about Noah and the flood and Sodom and Gomorrah and Jonah and the great fish. You need to know these stories are true. There's no flaws in the Word of God. It's the final authority because of the power of the Word of God. It's by the Word of God that the worlds were spoken into being. Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Just think about it for just a second. The things that are seen, they were not made by something visible. It was all spoken into being by the Word of the Lord. There was nothing there, and the eternal God spoke, and there it was. Really strange thing, the time that we live in. A lot of people, they just believe in the Big Bang, and they say, well, where did the Big Bang come from? And well, there was this big mass. Where'd that come from? Well, there just always was. There was this big mass, and one day it blew up. And that's where we came from. How stupid you gotta be. You either believe in the eternal clump or you believe in the eternal God who one day spoke it all into being by the words of his mouth. You see, we need to hold to the Scripture as the final authority for everything that we believe. You know, back to John 1:1-3 this time. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. Without Him, nothing was made that was made. We read it in the book of Genesis. God said it and it was. God said it and it was. God said it and it was. Mighty God. How did He do it? By His Word. He spoke it into being. You see, His Word has power. So much power, creative power, power to change things. He says in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. It's going to accomplish, it's going to do what He sent it to do. You know, in this world, people talk and talk and talk and talk. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I don't know why, but it reminds me back when I was in high school. And two guys would face off, and they're mad at each other, fists doubled up, and they start talking trash and talk and talk. And about 90% of the time, you could just tell they ain't going to fight. They're just talking. And there's a lot of that in this world, people talking. You need to understand, our God is different. He never just talks. What he says for a purpose. And what he says, he will do. Such power in the Word of God. Power. Power to create, to heal, to restore, to build up, to tear down and destroy. His Word will accomplish what He sends it to do. The Word of God is the final authority in eternity. He's coming back. I don't know when. I know He's coming back. And I know that it's going to be so different this time when He comes back. Revelation 19:11, now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. Who is this? The sweet and lowly, gentle Jesus. He's coming back, but it's going to be different. We need to understand. We need to see Him like this. This is what it says about Him. He judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He's clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called. His name is called. His name is called what? The Word of God. This is his name that he's called. The one who was the Word, who was with God, who was made flesh. His name, when he comes back as this conquering king, he's coming back with this name, the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want to tell you, there's a lot of people that don't think it's going to happen that way. I know it's going to happen that way. He will do exactly what he said he will do. The Word of God. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And there's coming a day, the Bible says, that every knee in heaven and on earth and under the earth will bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm so glad we don't have to wait until that day to bow our knee to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Word of God, His Word. It's the final authority. How do you know what's right? It's written. How do you know what the truth is? It's written. How do you know what to do? It's written. How do you know what would please the Lord? It's written. You need to know what's written. Stand with me. I want our prayer partners to come.